It's time for the Faith Connection Show with your host, Dr. David Miller, equipping people to connect with their purpose. In the next half hour, you will be inspired with words of encouragement, and you'll be motivated by experts in the respective field who have been where you're trying to go on the Faith Connection Show. But first, here's an inspirational word.
This is Bwana Miller Cannon with your word of the day. Life is a horrible teacher. She gives you the test before she teaches you the lesson. Mistakes are inevitable, but they're also lessons learned. You're not your failures. You're not your mistakes. Never allow your past to set a roadblock to your future. You can't drive an automobile from point A to point B looking in the rearview mirror, so why would you go through life focusing on what's behind you? Allow your mistakes to catapult you into the next level of life. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but rejoice because God is a God of a second chance.
You gave me.
He said, I'll give you even
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show. And here's Dr. Miller with his special guest.
We have in the studio with us today Calvin Brock, who was a contender for the heavyweight championship of the world. And Calvin, we hadn't heard a whole lot from him in quite a while, but Calvin has gone through some really dark spots in his life. But then, you know, he has a real testimony of triumph. And we wanted to have him on the show because we know that all of us are going through some kind of challenge, and these challenges require that we develop faith from other people who've come through. And Calvin's had such a successful life as a boxer and an Olympian. And Calvin went pro at age 26. At 30, he was 29-0 when he fought for the heavyweight championship. And that's sort of a major accomplishment. And the thing about him is Calvin is from right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and graduated from UNC Charlotte. So Calvin, it's great having you in the studio with us today, and we're looking forward to a great interview and making that connection for our audience today.
Well, thank you, David. It's a pleasure, you know, having me on the show today, the Faith Connection Show.
Well, you know, Calvin, I wanted to begin a little bit, and let's talk about now. I've just sort of outlined some of the successes you've had, but you know, everybody has successes. But the thing that really makes success so much sweeter is when you come through a dark place to get to that bright place of success. It was sort of the reverse with you, I think. You came through a very successful era in your life and reached a point that few fighters get to, and which is number one ranked boxing fighter. Tell us, how did you get there? What brought you to the fight game?
Sometime between the ages of 6 and 8, I asked God, you know, what is that you want for my life? You know, there's a lot of things out here in this world that I could possibly do. And I just wanted to be successful and happy. What is it that you have for me? So he showed me by blessing me with 2 sets of boxing gloves for a Christmas present from a relative. And I started boxing in the neighborhood with my friends. It was just me and my sister, so I couldn't box with her. So, yeah, and that's when he laid it on my heart at 10 years old that this is what I want you to do. This is the answer to your question and prayer right here. And I got started when I was 12. My dad, mom told me no at first at 10 years old that it wasn't cut out for me. And I was just going to do like they did and go through college and get a job and be a businessman one day. And I told them, well, this is what God has for me. So I just kept on begging and begging and begging until they took me to the gym at 10. And coach told me to come back when I was 12. So I continued to play other sports until I was 12 and went back at 12 and got started.
Now, when you got started boxing at 12, I hear that your father was the person who sort of mentored you in the game.
Well, what happened was I started with this 80-year-old man, and I lost my first 4 boxing matches with him. And he was at the North Charlotte Boxing Club right in, which today is NOTA, that used to be just North Charlotte. And my parents said, listen, son, you know, this guy's older. He may have used to been a good trainer, but, you know, let's go to another gym because we're not going to continue to keep bringing you to the gym and investing in our time and our monies and taking you to trips when you're not going anywhere with this trainer here. So we went over to the Police Athletic League. And at that time, Kelvin Seabrooks was IBF bantamweight champion of the world. And 2 months after over there, he lost his title. And we went into the gym one day and nobody was there. And typically workout started at 7 o'clock, and we were there by 7, and then it was 7:20 and nobody. And wonder why nobody was there. And then the coach, out of respect for us, he showed up, came down to the basement, said, you know, he wasn't coaching anymore. Told us what happened and walked away. And then my dad said, well, oh, well, Calvin, you know, you must have missed God, man.
So you didn't quite. So that's somewhere along the line, there's confusion.
Yeah, huh? You must have missed God, man. This is it.
Yeah.
You know, so I said, nah, I didn't miss God, man. I guess I'm going to just have to go find me a coach to live with or, you know, going to a school that has boxing. I'm leaving.
Uh-huh.
I said, man, you can't leave at 13 years old. You don't want to leave at 13 years old, do you? Yeah, I said, yes, man, I'm leaving. So he became my coach right then and there.
You went to the Olympics, thought you might be a contender for the gold medal. That didn't happen, but you came back and turned pro at 26. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then from 26, you had, I think at that time you won 29-0, and which made you number one rank.
Right.
And then that's when you had the opportunity to fight Klitschko.
Vladimir Klitschko, right. Mm-hmm.
Now, that fight, as a matter of fact, I watched that fight, and I think you did a great job. I mean, because this was after that fight in 2006. You were 31 years old when you fought that fight.
Right.
Now, that's a little bit old for a heavyweight, or is it not?
No, it's not old for a heavyweight. It's a good age for a heavyweight because heavyweights can box all the way up until the end of their early 40s.
Oh, okay.
I mean, because we typically grow into our bodies later.
Okay.
So it's not so good for us to start so early. You know, it's good to start early so you can learn how not to get hit. It's bad to start late as a heavyweight because you get hit too much. Okay. Learning by getting hit by bigger and stronger and harder hitting men. But you have more time as heavyweight. So most boxers today's time don't challenge for a world title until they're in their 30s.
Okay. And then after you lost that fight, then you were preparing to get back to that point again, and that's when your tragedy hit. It was when in the third fight after the loss to Gladimir that you ended up with a detached retina.
Yes, I was training for my third boxing match, and I received a jab in my right eye that put a bloodshot streak and kind of changed my vision a little bit. But I wasn't diagnosed until after my third boxing match, and unfortunately, I came out the surgery blind. I went into the surgery scene, supposed to get attached back, my retinal attached back, and enter back into my sport. And came out, tragically, can't enter back into my sport. So, you know, right then and there, it's like, here's my whole life. I've been, you know, dreaming of becoming a world champion, training, never dreaming of doing anything else. And then all of a sudden, in a day's notice, that I can't do it anymore.
We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
Praise listeners, this is Brian Moore, one of your hosts of the Be More Faithful radio show.
And I'm Sarah Moore. Please come join us every Sunday on Praise 100.9 at 10 p.m. The Be More Faithful radio show is a half hour of inspiration, information, and entertainment.
The Be More Faithful radio show is brought to you by our company, Be More Faithful Marketing. If you want to know more about Be More Faithful Marketing, go to www.bmfradioshow.com.
The Be More Faithful Radio Show's content covers a topic of discussion, the song of inspiration, a sermonette, and our artist showcase, which you can listen to on a podcast on our website on bmfradioshow.com.
Praise listeners, put us on your schedule and join us every Sunday night at 10 p.m. for the Be More Faithful Radio Show. And also, if you're interested in the services of Be More Faithful Marketing, give us a call at 704-497-4678 or email us at info@bmfradioshow.com.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show. And here's Dr. Miller with his special guest.
Now, once you got back, that's when you reached that dark point, that point where you just felt like your whole world was falling apart. Tell our audience, our listening audience, a little bit about that, because I think that's important.
The Bible says, God says, without a vision, people perish.
Right.
So here I was, my whole life, I always had a vision, always had a dream. And now, here it is in 2008. I can't box anymore. We have the recession here. I don't know what I want to do with myself. I don't have a dream. I don't have a vision. I'm just here.
Mm-hmm.
And not only am I just here, I'm here during a time in American history, 2008, 2009, 2010. We're in this great recession right here. I am invested in the real estate market. I'm invested in securities. My wife, we didn't have any kids. Tell my wife was, you know, working crazy hours. And I really can't name a happy moment in my life. Nothing was going right at that time. And not having a vision, not having a career, not making any money. I'm losing money. Economy where it was. Nothing was right, man. I'm dealing with my eye. I can't see in my right eye. That's depressing enough.
Right.
I'm used to seeing out of two eyes. I'm always in pain. I'm hurting. I'm bumping my head into stuff. I just can't jump into another career that's going to pay for all these assets I've accumulated. So It's a lot of pressure here.
Okay.
And not just on me, but it's on my wife too. So, you know, and she's a younger lady that has never really experienced those ups and downs in life like I did going through a boxing career. So it caused us some, you know, relationship problems and things. So I was experiencing so much at one time.
Right.
That at that time, in that depression time, the devil told me to kill myself.
Oh, like my
always
Lord.
Does. Yeah. When, you know, when depression strikes, first thing he always does is he's out to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's so correct. That's his agenda.
That's his agenda. So he's always coming, kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or go get on some drugs or lead you to something. And I got so depressed that, you know, I thought about all of that, you know, killing myself. And
so how did you get beyond that point?
Man, at that time, you know, I just stayed around people a lot. I got more involved in the church, and I became an armor bearer to the pastor. And the church was real charismatic and uplifting, and And it was what I needed at that time.
Right.
And I stayed there, and I just stayed in the church a whole lot, stayed around positive people, stayed at different events. I would go around to different events and things all the time, just keep from being by myself.
So what you did was you found your passion in God, and you sort of started to rebuild your life from a positive standpoint.
Right. That's all I could do. I mean, I didn't have a dream or a future, didn't know what to do with myself. So just stay in the church, just keep praying and just stay in the church and go in there and hear that music and praise and worship and be around other people that are happy and uplifting. And that was my motivation, just keep going.
Now, you know, I want to talk a little bit about your, not just that, but you have a company now that, you know, has sort of replaced that income deficit. And you started this company from scratch, and it's called Jack and Landlord. You put this company together. It's very unique, the concept is. Tell us a little bit about the company.
Yes, I was driving out of Atlanta on a Labor Day Monday in 2012, and God laid this company, the vision, how to be structured and everything, because I had prayed to him to lead me to another dream, give me another vision like I had in boxing. So he gave me this company that guarantees the landlord so that landlords can lease without a security deposit that's mutually beneficial to the landlord and to the tenant. The tenant can move in and not have the security deposit to put up and keep their money in the pocket. And not only that, but pay it off along with their rent just over 1 year. The guarantee going to stay with them, but at a discounted amount. Not the full security deposit, but 65% of the security deposit they pay over 12 months. It's non-refundable. But what it does for the landlord is it increases their landlord's renewals, because the tenant, after the first year, is not paying the premium of the guarantee anymore. So they see a lower second-year rent, even with the rent increase. And then they'll renew for a third year, because a third year rent is just about the same or maybe just a little bit higher than what they were paying the first year with the guaranteed premium. So tenants see it as a partnership with the landlord to save for home purchase over 2 to 3 years and keep their expenses the same.
Okay. Now, you developed this sort of your brainchild, and you developed this program, and you started offering it to landlords. Because at one time, I think in North Carolina, some of the landlords were doubling up on the deposit, and it made it very difficult for people to get into a place. So it seems like to me that God led you to a place where you were able to help both the person who needed shelter and also the landlord who's providing shelter. Now, when you started this company, was it very difficult to get people to understand the concept, especially the landlords, or how difficult was it?
It's still difficult, because landlords have been leasing with security deposits forever.
Okay.
And when you're dealing with landlords, a lot of times you're dealing with management companies that aren't headquartered out of that office.
Okay.
So the chain of revenue, maybe the authority is kind of high, so it's difficult for the alternative security deposit industry, but we all working in it together.
Well, you know, it has been great talking with you about this, because I wanted to hear about the business that you started. And I know at the end of the show, we're going to give you a chance to tell people, especially some of these landlords, because there are a lot of small landlords out here that could probably use your services. And I want to make sure that we let you make an appeal to them to come and talk with you about services. But I want to talk just a half second about giving back, because you have been through a lot. You've learned a lot, and you give back to younger men who are trying to become professional boxers. Is that correct?
That is correct. I am the president of the Charlotte Boxing Academy, and my role is mentoring youth through the coaches to become civilized individuals in society through positive working individuals after boxing, by getting them a college education, a college scholarship to get them a college education through boxing. Once we get them on a level of 3 years of experience and nationally ranked, then they qualify for a scholarship with a lot of schools now, or via the military. In our program, I raise funds to keep them traveling and into different tournaments and different competitions, because you can take any sport. Nobody just going to go to practice. They want to play a game.
There's a lot more we'd like to talk to you about. But what I want to do at this moment is to give you an opportunity, number one, to tell a lot of the landlords out there how to reach you at Jack and Landlord.
Right. Reach me via the website Jack and, spell and, A-N-D, Landlords, with an S, jackandlandlords.com. Or you can reach me at my email, info@jackandlandlords.com. But all of our contact information is at our website, jackandlandlords.com.
Okay. And then, Calvin, tell us how there may be a family out there that has a young man that they want to get into boxing or something positive. How do they get a hold to you in order for you to maybe help direct them?
Visit the Charlotte Boxing Academy, or you can also go to the Mecklenburg County Park and Recreational website and search out boxing, and Charlotte Boxing Academy will pop up. And you click on the link and you will find our location. We're at Remount and Behringer at the Revolution Sports Academy.
Okay, Calvin, it's been great having you on the show today. And you know what? We're going to have you back again, brother, because I think your testimony is fantastic. I want to have a little bit more dialogue with you about what the things that you've done and the things you've come through. But I thank you for being on the show today and look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, David. I really enjoy being on the Faith Connection Show.
My name is
Victory.
He said that I've
overcome.
Conflict is a very difficult thing to deal with, and we live through conflict every day. But one of the things about conflict that we must realize is that conflict is necessary. It is necessary because conflict is difficult, but it is extremely necessary because it reveals the truth in our lives. Someone out there is going through a great conflict today. You're conflicted about your home, conflicted about your job, and it seems like the conflict you're going through makes your life extremely difficult to deal with. But I want you to know, you must embrace your conflicts, because conflict brings forth personal growth and insight. It helps you to understand who you are and whose you are and how you're able to overcome things. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors because we're able to handle conflict by the grace of God. You know, the greatest conflict in life bring us the greatest tribulations in life. And sometimes those tribulations bring to us a great deliverance. The civil rights movement is a great example of conflict at its best. It was a conflict that brought forth people and pulled people together of all races and colors. It brought people to a sense of understanding and love for one another. Even in your home, you must deal with conflict, because in your home, conflict allows you to understand that it's better to talk to each other than to talk at each other. Your children, your family, everybody has conflict in their lives. So embrace your conflicts. Embrace your conflicts. Because if you're able to embrace your conflicts, you will understand that peace can come out of conflict. Because our great president, Ronald Reagan, once said, peace is not absent of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. So I admonish you today as we close, understand your conflicts and understand how to handle conflict, because conflict is necessary in order to improve and strengthen your life. Embrace your conflicts.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show with Dr. David Miller, making a connection for you and equipping people to connect with their purpose. Don't forget to log on to the ConnectCenterNC.com. That's ConnectCenterNC.com. If you'd like to reach Dr. David Miller, email theconnectcenter3@gmail.com. That's theconnectcenter3@gmail.com. And remember, never lose the connection to your purpose. It's time for the Faith Connection Show with your host, Dr. David Miller, equipping people to connect with their purpose. In the next half hour, you will be inspired with words of encouragement, and you'll be motivated by experts in the respective field who have been where you're trying to go on the Faith Connection Show. But first, here's an inspirational word.
This is Bawana Miller Cannon with your word of the day. Forgiveness is an essential part of every Christian's life. However, it's hard to forgive. How do you forgive someone who has hurt you? How do you overcome the anger and bitterness? The answer is simple. Release. Release yourself from the emotions that rob you of your joy and peace. Release your offender. God's word is so clear. If you want him to hear your prayers and forgive your sins, you must forgive. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You must trust God. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. God will handle the wrongs that are done against you. Release and rest in his promise. He'll do the rest.
So I wait, expecting my blessing right now. Applaud God in this room, everybody. Go on and give him some glory in advance. Clap your hands again. Woo! I'm so glad today I heard.
So glad today I heard you.
I heard you clearly. Now I'm grateful.
In spite of my circumstance, all I want to do is serve you
and love you,
love you
and praise you.
Praise you. You gave me another chance.
I was broken.
endure.
In the secret place I'm dwelling.
In the secret place I'm dwelling.
Safely.
Ever so bravely.
Your foundation
standeth sure.
Whoop.
I was broken hearted. I bowed down.
I was shackled. Listen to this. Release. Give it to me.
Yes, Lord.
I need a blessing right now. Really release. Give it to me. Yeah. I need blessing right now. Everybody say,
thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show. And here's Dr. Miller with his special guest.
We have in the studio today with us Ralph Sanchez. And Ralph is an author and has 20 years experience in integrative health care and a practitioner. And he specializes in functional medicine. And Ralph, it's good to have you in the studio today. And I just thank you for accepting the opportunity to talk to our listeners today. We want to talk to them a little bit about a disease that is really running rampant in the communities all over. Every race in this country is suffering from this disease. It's called Alzheimer's. We know that this is a disease that is just ravishing the country, and there are a lot of baby boomers that are coming down with this condition, and we wanted to talk to Ralph about it. Ralph has written a book called The Diabetic Brain in Alzheimer's Disease, and that sounds like a topic that has an interesting twist to it, because it does. I'm anxious to find out how a diabetic brain creates Alzheimer's. So, okay, Ralph, we're just glad to have you in the studio today.
Well, it's a real pleasure for me, Dr. Miller, and it's a privilege. So thank you very much for having me on.
Okay. Now, how did you get into functional medicine?
Well, I was inspired to take a dramatic turn in my life back in the late 80s and early 90s, and I went from landscaping into acupuncture school, Chinese medicine school, and I was inspired to do so because I wanted to be of service in the world and to have a more fulfilling path.
Okay. Now, you know, Ralph, the book itself, talking about how does this work with Alzheimer's? What is the correlation?
Well, early on in my practice, I was trying to figure out a lot of health issues of my own, apart from helping my patients. And I was putting two and two together, and I had a significant brain trauma early in my life as a young man. And because of the landscaping work, I had severe exposure to pesticides.
Oh.
And there were a few other things as well. It's a long story, but I'll keep it short to that.
Okay.
And I started to realize that I had a significant risk for cognitive decline as I aged because of those factors, brain trauma alone, can raise your risk for dementia as you age. And, of course, pesticides are very toxic to the brain. They're called neurotoxins. And so I got very busy understanding all of that information, understanding my risk. And the more I learned, the more I wanted to know, and I decided this was going to be a central focus in my research.
Okay.
Because I wanted to write books. And so I decided that Alzheimer's was going to be the topic and that I was going to write eventually some books on Alzheimer's disease.
Now, how did the diabetes, how does that...
How is that related to it? Well, I'll tell you in short. So I was I started my practice in 1995. And around the year 1999, I discovered some information around a genetic marker. It's a well-validated what's called risk factor for late-onset Alzheimer's disease. And I want to distinguish late-onset Alzheimer's disease from early-onset Alzheimer's disease. Early-onset Alzheimer's disease is pretty much a genetically determined disorder. If you have the genes, you will get Alzheimer's disease as you age. But with late-onset Alzheimer's disease, there is many risk factors that come together to increase your risk. The genes don't determine that you will get Alzheimer's as you age, but it increases your risk. And when I ran across that information, I got very much into the research. And then around 2005, there was a study that came out. I started my research around 1998, 1999. And in 2005, I noticed a study that referred to part of the disease process in Alzheimer's disease as resembling a type 3 diabetes.
Whoa.
And what that
now,
meant
type
was
3
that...
diabetes? I've heard
exactly.
of type 1, type 2, but what is
right.
type 3?
Well, the literature and the research definitely describes a type 3 diabetes, which is a diabetes of the brain.
Oh.
And that's the title of my book, The Diabetic Brain and Alzheimer's Disease.
Okay.
When I started to see that research and follow it closely, I decided that was going to be my book.
Okay.
And that was back in 2005, 6, and 7.
Okay, let me ask you a question now. Is this the major cause of diabetes? I know that there's no cure for it, but my question is, what are the major causes of Alzheimer's? What really causes it? Because it seems like from the literature I've read, you know, leading up to the show, is no real definitive cause for it that they've isolated other than the gene that you talked about.
Well, the gene just increases your risk.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many factors related to that gene and other genes because Alzheimer's, late onset Alzheimer's disease, again, even though we know that there is one gene that significantly raises the risk, there are many other genes. So it's referred to as a polygenic disorder. In other words, many genes influence the risk for Alzheimer's, late onset Alzheimer's disease. And the one, which is APOE4, just more significantly increases your risk. But we're learning about many others as the science rolls on. And while
okay.
that's a risk factor, there are many other risk factors that are associated with
right.
a causal relationship,
right.
Which is diet and lifestyle and type 2 diabetes and heart disease. All of these significantly raise your risk for Alzheimer's disease as you age. The older you get, the more likely you are to get Alzheimer's disease because of these problems.
Okay, Ralph, then the question I have to ask here, you know, this disease really is a little sneaky. What are some of the signs that a person would look for if in a loved one or, you know, period?
Yes, well, they're quite typical and they're well described in the literature. There are areas in the brain that are very important to learning and memory. So oftentimes memory, of course, will be one of the first things, but memory isn't the only thing that begins to suffer. There is something referred to as executive function in the brain, which is all about planning and decision-making. So think of the CEO of a company who has to make all the decisions and run the company and make sure everything is running smoothly. Well, in a person, the executive function in the brain starts to fail. So they can't plan, they can't make decisions, They're not thinking clearly. They're not able to run their life smoothly. And that progresses and gets worse over time.
Okay. Now, also, I read in the literature that women have a much higher incidence of Alzheimer's than men. What is the reason for that?
Yes, well, it's almost twice the risk. And one of the biggest reasons is estrogen. So low estrogen in a woman, not all women have low estrogen as they age, but many do. And the same as a man. We'll focus on women, but men also, if they get into low testosterone, which is very common as they age, well, that's a risk for Alzheimer's disease. So hormones can be a factor.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, go ahead.
Okay, so women that are going through menopause or the early, some women go through menopause earlier than others, but if a woman is going through menopause, it can bring on Alzheimer's because that the chemical levels in her body changes. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, absolutely. So at menopause, there is a significant shift for some women. Again, not all women. But some women's estrogen levels really decline seriously at menopause.
Okay.
And estrogen governs glucose metabolism. In other words, the estrogen in a woman's body dictates how well they're able to metabolize glucose.
Okay.
So as estrogen falls, and estrogen also functions as an antioxidant in the brain, so it's protective. But the glucose factor is very, very important, and that's something that I focus on in the book quite a bit, because energy metabolism in your brain is critical. If you're not able to burn energy to keep those cells thriving and working, well, you're going to run into some cognitive problems as you age for sure. And the problem with women is that if they're going into low estrogen, it slowly puts them at risk as they age because they're not able to support energy metabolism. They're no longer able to burn, you know, glucose.
Okay.
So it's very, very important for them to be aware of this problem at menopause, if not earlier, because if they don't make a change in their diet and how they approach their diet as far as supplying energy, they have to start thinking about going more into fat metabolism and away from glucose metabolism. And that's an area of diet that's referred to as ketogenesis.
Okay.
And that's a very important part because in ketogenesis, it also applies to type 2 diabetes. You can reverse type 2 diabetes with a ketogenic approach.
Wait a minute.
With a ketogenic approach.
Are you saying that it can be reversed? Alzheimer's?
Type 2 diabetes can absolutely be reversed with a diet. They've shown that very clearly, and there's many doctors and clinics doing that right now as we speak.
Okay. Type 2 diabetes, yes, I agree with you. But I thought you were talking about Alzheimer's could be reversed through diet, and that was my question.
Well, here's something about Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's has at least a 20 to 30-year window, okay, that it progresses and gets worse as time rolls on. Now, in the very early stages of Alzheimer's, it's called preclinical. There are no signs whatsoever. You don't know that the disease is happening, and your doctor does not either. And in the preclinical stage, that can go on for years and years before it continues into the next stage, which is called mild cognitive impairment. And in mild cognitive impairment is when you start to see problems with memory and executive function that I talked about earlier, thinking, planning, decision-making. So all of that starts to happen in mild cognitive impairment. Now, there are some doctors and clinics that are working with patients at mild cognitive impairment before it progresses to a more severe form of Alzheimer's disease. And they're able to stabilize patients. And there is some indications that it can be reversed at that stage.
All right. Now,
so it depends on what stage we're talking about.
Okay.
It's all about early intervention, and that's what I emphasize in the book over and over and over.
Okay.
You can't wait until you have dementia to address this problem. You've got to attack it early in life.
We're going to take a quick break here and we'll be right back.
The world premiere of the brand new single, I Can Love You Through Anything, by musician, singer, songwriter, and producer, Ken Hardio.
I can love you through anything.
Featuring Charlotte, North Carolina's very own musician, singer, songwriter, music educator, and producer, Quentin Bethay. This song has a message of hope and healing for people of all ages across the globe. Get your copy now. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Google Play.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show. And here's Dr. Miller with his special guest.
Well, the last question that I have for you is, I noticed that in the research, there is very little data on African Americans when it comes to Alzheimer's. Is there a reason for that?
There's absolutely a reason, and it's well described in the literature, again, in the science and the studies. And African Americans and Hispanics have a higher incidence, a higher rate of Alzheimer's risk as they age. And the main reasons are because of diabetes and heart disease. Those two factors alone significantly will raise anybody's risk for Alzheimer's as they age. And again, that's talked about in the book quite a bit. But because African Americans and Hispanics have higher incidences of diabetes and heart disease as they age, they're going to be at increased risk for Alzheimer's disease, late onset Alzheimer's disease.
Okay. Now, that's interesting. And certainly, I'm glad to understand why the disparity is there, because I just couldn't figure out exactly why it was. But I have seen that not only in your literature, but also in other literature that I've read about Alzheimer's. Now, let me ask you, is it more people who are more susceptible to having Alzheimer's? Are those the people that where they've had a mom or a dad or someone in the family that suffered from that?
Absolutely. So it's very, very clear that if Alzheimer's or a dementia runs in your family, you are definitely at an increased risk. So people, please listen. If something in your background, in terms of your family history, you have to start looking at your risk early in life. Because we know, again, that Alzheimer's begins 20 to 30 years, and there's even indications that children start to have problems that increases their risk later in life for Alzheimer's disease. And it relates to obesity and diabetes, heart disease. So you have to start thinking way ahead. If it runs in your family or if there's a family history of some type, especially on your mother's side, you have to get busy and you have to start working with somebody that understands these problems and these risk factors and can guide you and coach you along what you need to do to protect yourself as you age.
Our time is running out, and I want our listening audience to have an opportunity to hear how to get in contact with you, because I think you consult in this area. And it's important that this side of functional medicine is addressing Alzheimer's, because it is a tough disease. Would you tell our listening audience how to contact you and certainly how to get your book?
Absolutely. So there are several ways. My main website is thealzheimerssolution.com. And my program, which is titled Brain Defend, is my brain health coaching and consulting program, where I guide people along on how to reduce their risk. And we look very carefully at the risk factors. And that program is called Brain Defend. And they can go to braindefend.com to start looking at that, and they can reach me through either of those .coms, the Alzheimerssolution.com or braindefend.com. And if they want to know more about the book, they can find out more about the book at thediabeticbrain.com.
Okay.
So lots of ways to get in touch with me.
Okay. Well, Ralph, it's been great having you on the show, and we thank you for taking out of your busy schedule time to be with us today. And you have a great rest of your day, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Well, thank you very much again. It was really a pleasure, and I really appreciate the opportunity, Dr. Miller. You have a wonderful day, too.
Okay, you do the same.
Conflict is a very difficult thing to deal with, and we live through conflict every day. But one of the things about conflict that we must realize is that conflict is necessary. It is necessary because conflict is difficult, but it is extremely necessary because it reveals the truth in our lives. Someone out there is going through a great conflict today. You're conflicted about your home, conflicted about your job, and it seems like the conflict you're going through makes your life extremely difficult to deal with. But I want you to know, you must embrace your conflicts, because conflict brings forth personal growth and insight. It helps you to understand who you are and whose you are and how you're able to overcome things. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors because we're able to handle conflict by the grace of God. You know, the greatest conflict in life bring us the greatest tribulations in life.
And sometimes those tribulations bring to us a great deliverance. The civil rights movement is a great example of conflict at its best. It was a conflict that brought forth people and pulled people together of all races and colors. It brought people to a sense of understanding and love for one another. Even in your home, you must deal with conflict, because in your home, conflict allows you to understand that it's better to talk to each other than to talk at each other. Your children, your family, everybody has conflict in their lives. So embrace your conflicts. Embrace your conflicts. Because if you're able to embrace your conflicts, you will understand that peace can come out of conflict. Because our great president, Ronald Reagan, once said, peace is not absent of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. So I admonish you today as we close, understand your conflicts and understand how to handle conflict, because conflict is necessary in order to improve and strengthen your life. Embrace your conflicts.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Connection Show with Dr. David Miller, making a connection for you and equipping people to connect with their purpose. Don't forget to log on to the ConnectCenterNC.com. That's ConnectCenterNC.com. If you'd like to reach Dr. David Miller, email theconnectcenter3@gmail.com. That's theconnectcenter3@gmail.com. And remember, never lose the connection to your purpose.